You are listening to Drop Tent Media Network.
It's turkey time.
Jive, motherfucker!
Jive, turkey.
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 What?
That's a good smell to have.
Yeah, the microphone's the same as it was last week.
That should be a scent that you could put in.
Microphone scent?
Yeah,
that's a fucking Yankee candle.
Yeah.
Just burn it and it smells like a recording studio.
Fresh studio.
It's like a fucking microphone.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
Plug it in your car's AC. Just.
Never talk about the club.
It just smells like three fat guys in a room.
Smells like a bunch of sweaty session musicians.
Sweaty nuts and fucking long hair.
It would just call it.
But like stale tobacco and too, like just a hint of it.
Podcast scent. It's just.
Sweaty podcast.
What's a podcast? Shut up, Grandma. This candle's not for you. All right. So welcome to this episode.
You're just smelling your candle in your room like.
By yourself. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. You're just smelling camera. Yeah. So this episode of Jive Turkeys, we're doing the Halloween spooky episode.
Ooh.
Yeah. Creepy.
Ooh.
Creepy noises. Are you good? Never talk about the club.
Okay.
That was concerning.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. Thank you.
Did you get it out of your system?
I was trying to be spooky.
It was pretty spooky.
Thank you.
Not gonna lie.
I was trying to do like Grudge. Did you know they're making another Grudge movie?
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know if it's
that seems excessive.
Yeah. But it's coming out soon.
Of all the franchises, you think that would have died by now? It would have been the Grudge.
Speaking of spooky things. Did you guys watch the new Star Wars trailer?
Yes.
You heard
Yeah.
A familiar voice.
C-3PO?
Really?
That's the Emperor.
Jacob. Yeah, the Emperor was in the other ones when he was laughed at the end. But the new one, yeah, you can hear him laugh a little bit more, talk and stuff.
Really?
Wait, he was in the other movie?
He was in the other trailer for this movie.
Oh,
he laughed
right
at the end of it.
Oh, here. No, this is the one I got.
What is the one you got?
Wait.
Are you literally going to play a video on a YouTube
video?
No,
I'm just going to show.
Oh. The trolled one. Yeah. Your hand is right in front of my face. It's fine.
Nobody wants to see you, Jacob.
I want to watch this movie.
Yeah, for anybody that hasn't seen it.
I can imagine the movie's like this skinny redheaded Jedi just spinning around in a space bar.
Yeah, but instead of just stopping at kissing his sister, he would have went the whole way because he's never going to give her up. Yeah. Rick rolled.
It would have been his brother, not his sister.
You know what? It should have been Ward.
You never caught the gay undertones from that movie, that video.
Why? Because it was the 80s, man. All music videos had gay undertones.
Don't you ever say that about Slayer, Jacob?
Okay, well, maybe not Slayer, but a lot of other ones did. I was mainly pop. Because you ever watch any of the Men at Work videos?
No.
They're
Wait, that's the Down Under.
Yes,
yeah,
Down.
Okay,
Under,
yeah,
Overkill.
Yeah, that video.
A lot of their videos, it looks
like
somebody had like a
Chippendale videos.
Yeah,
like,
it was like
about
a
to become gay porn.
Well, I don't know about that, but it's a lot of like somebody had a home video camera and they're just running around on the beach a lot. It's pretty fun stuff. So, Jason.
Yo, what's up?
Do you have any Halloween stuff?
We
you
didn't
talk
do the
about?
Introduction.
We were doing the introduction. You guys interrupted me with your noises.
I'm Tyson.
That's Tyson. I'm Jacob.
I'm Tyson.
No, you're not.
And that's
Say your
Jason.
Name.
Two Tysons and a Jason.
That's not how this works.
It's spooky, though, Jacob.
It's spookier that way.
Having to deal with two Tysons.
We had to deal with two Tysons. Anytime Will was on the show, we had to deal with two Tysons. We know exactly what
Miss
that feels
you, Will.
Like. I don't. I'm glad you're moving.
We would call it the bi-Tysonial.
Well, since today we're getting all spooky, ooky, kabuki,
Spooky yuki yuki.
I have the annual Good Housekeeping list of most offensive costumes to talk about.
Really?
Because yes,
the ones this most year, offensive?
The most offensive ones for 2019.
I guarantee
Please
you,
tell me Christopher Columbus is on this list.
I wish, but he's not.
You know everybody's dressed up as a clown this year.
Yeah,
everybody.
Or the Joker.
Wait, why?
Because well, that's what I mean. You know,
oh, yeah.
One form
Joker.
Or another. Joker or Pennywise. Yeah, I mean, they're going to be a fucking clown one way or the other.
Yeah. And then all and the holdovers from Harley Quinn from last year.
Yeah, and then there's the ones that are going to go, no, man, fuck the new Pennywise. Tim Curry ruled. And they're going to rock the Tim Curry one just to say, I like Pennywise before it was cool.
Fucking
like
it hipsters. Fucking losers.
They're going to walk around like that with a fucking man bun. A big red man bun.
And a slouch beanie. And a clove cigarette.
We need to talk about Juggalos.
Do we need to really talk about Juggalos, though?
No.
Okay. I was about to say, they've been doing just fine without our input for the longest time. I think we'll be good.
I mean, we were talking about clowns, so we might as well talk about idiots, too.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, Juggalo fans.
I'm not.
So,
I don't know any Juggalos.
You know they're considered a terrorist organization?
Really? No fucking way.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Terrorist organization.
That's really the one thing we have to worry about?
We just got to send the Navy SEALs after their
All
asses.
You have to do is give us a steady supply of Shasta and we're fine. Or is it
free Faygo?
It's
Faygo.
Faygo?
Faygo.
Oh, it's Faygo. Oh.
This is a free Faygo party.
Okay, send them Faygo so it's not Shasta. Jesus. It's a bunch of crates of Faygo, but inside are Navy SEALs. So
their faces are painted like Faygo.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm thinking like, so if you're gonna disguise yourself as Faygo, you need like something. You need like a bottle cap. Sorry, I'm turning away from the mic. So you need like a bottle cap.
Yeah.
But like the only thing Navy SEALs carry that is shaped like a bottle cap is like the barrel of their rifles. So it's like put the Faygo in your mouth.
Drink the Faygo, maggot.
Oh God. You know, I think the last thing we need is another mass shooting. So we probably don't need to, you know, kill a bunch of Juggalos at a gathering.
If it's a terrorist organization, it's a
we're doing
story.
The Lord's work. Is what you're saying.
It's like a crusade, basically.
Yeah, because that wasn't bad when we did it.
I mean, if it's sanctioned by the holy ruler, you know.
Who, Trump?
Yes, I think it's great. I think it's good that you're going out killing all these clans.
He just used the F word.
You can't drink my people. Orange Faygo.
Faygo is wrong. Faygo is people.
He thinks it's his people.
Jesus.
All right. What were
That's
we
great.
Talking about?
Offensive costumes.
Oh, yeah.
So can you guys guess the number one most offensive? You want to go from the bottom to the top?
I'm going to assume.
Blackface?
Not
there's nothing more offensive than
it's
blackface.
Are you trying to get extra points? What
no, saying? I genuinely I can't think of a more offensive costume.
You're
blackface.
Like those white people that like in like a restaurant or something. If they talk about like their favorite black movie, I really liked Black Panther. It was great. That Chadwick Boseman is a gem.
Actually, something worse than blackface is Trump face.
Oh, orange face.
Orange face. Yeah.
If you're going carrot face.
And that's offensive to Carrot Top. So he
well,
like
and
that
he
shit.
Can beat your ass.
Yeah,
he's swole now.
I don't know. What's the number? What's the number?
So
one?
The number one.
Or are you going to give us a tier? Like,
let's
like
go. Let's go from 15 down.
Okay. Yeah, I like this.
So number 15. Oh, maybe it does go the other way.
It goes both ways.
How is it numbered?
It's 1 through 15, but I think 15 is a lot more offensive than the first one.
Oh, okay. So we'll read
so,
it the other way.
Number one, a Holocaust victim.
Okay, that's offensive. But,
that's pretty offensive for any of our Jewish listeners.
What? How do you dress like a Holocaust victim?
I don't know.
Do you just cover yourself in
you go
like
on,
ash?
You go on the machinist diet and you lose like a whole bunch of weight.
Oh,
and then
Jesus.
You just
fucking, I mean, bulimia
it
for like
it
3 months?
It helps if you're already Jewish.
Yeah, I do.
You have to like start working on your costume in like June.
Yeah. So you get that summer body and you get their Halloween body for the costume. It's perfect. But then you walk around with like like a string with a bunch of wedding rings on it. And you're like, what's all that about? It's part of your costume. And it's like, well, these are all the grandmothers that died in the Holocaust, and these were their rings they wanted to give to their kids.
What's number two? I can't listen to this one.
Why? Are you going to cry, Jason?
No.
Or Tyson? You introduced yourself.
He's Tyson tonight.
What?
We confused you. That's fantastic.
You didn't confuse me.
I'm Jason.
Jason?
And that's Tayson.
Okay. So number two, Tyson called it, anything involving blackface.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I guess I could see how a Holocaust victim might be more offensive. But
not to black people.
No, I don't like, personally feel that it is, because there's not as many people around still that experienced that.
Yeah.
But blackface is still.
Well, those are both racially insensitive. So, like, you know, blackface would be more offensive, you know, to black people, whereas, you know, a Holocaust victim would be more offensive to Jewish people. Black people probably could give.
That's why I find blackface more offensive.
Well, you should, you know, like,
because
you know,
it personally. Mm-hmm.
Right, but I mean, if you switch it up, they're not going to care. Jews are not going to care about people in blackface, and black people are not going to really care about people dressed up as Holocaust victims.
See, I'm
they're
not
probably going to think like, oh, it's just another zombie. Who gives a shit?
I'm not Jewish. I'm just part black.
Okay, number three, transphobic costumes.
Oh, like attack helicopter?
Yes. One in particular that actually got pulled from Walmart shelves, the Tranny Granny.
What?
Show you a picture of that.
Oh.
That's just a dude dressed up as a granny. Like,
that happens a lot. Like,
yeah.
Any, like...
But the problem with this costume wasn't that he was dressed up as a granny. It was the problem that it was labeled as Tranny Granny. It was called Tranny Granny. So
that's not okay.
that's the not okay part, is calling it Tranny Granny. If it was just grandma, then it'd been fine.
What the fuck?
Yeah,
it kind of looks like what was that fucking Under Siege? There's that Steven Seagal movie.
Oh God, when he's on the boat.
Yeah. There's a scene where fucking Gary Busey is dressed up as a woman, and he's got the teeth, that's what looks like, just Gary Busey all in drag.
I don't know, the teeth on it don't look too big.
Well, I mean, that's the
that
closest
was a terrible
proximity.
Movie but also good.
Yeah, it's a Seagal movie, they're all terrible.
But it had Tommy Lee
that
Jones
one was
in it.
Especially Seagal.
One,
have you seen Under Siege?
It's, actually it's it had more of a budget than some of the other ones. I think it was it had Tommy Lee Jones and fucking, you know, Gary Busey.
My favorite thing about Seagal movies is, like, the ones that I have watched, they seem to get better as he gets fatter for some reason. Like, I don't know why.
Being able to pull off the super agile stunts.
Oh, yeah, well, like, you know, the old ones, like, you just showed him, like, running down the street for 12 minutes. Like, I got to chase down this car. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Terrible.
He's got to stop at a red light sooner or later.
And when he does, I will hit him
I'll be there, out of breath, but I'll be there.
And he thumps the window and it just fucking shatters.
Sweaty
pulls
justice.
As he's pulling him out of the window, like, they brush against his sweaty moobs.
Gross. Leaves a fucking trail of shit.
Like, you see the shot of them in the car and their face is normal, and then the next shot of them, their face is just like, kind of got moisture on it.
There's like pieces of popcorn and like M&M's and shit.
Good God. Some cheese on the eyebrow.
I went to the movies beforehand and I was sneaking in snacks.
Good God.
All right, so number four is a refugee.
Okay. Boring.
Yeah.
Next.
Number five, body shaming and objectifying costumes.
Next, we like what? Those.
What?
This one in particular is a man.
Body shaming, they mean costumes that they like other people could never
people,
wear,
or like make fun of skinny people.
So
this one in particular,
I think what it means is like costumes that are sexy on some people, and other people can't wear them, and so they feel like they're being shamed because they can't wear it. Just
well, I think it's particularly this costume.
Let me see,
because it appears to be a guy riding on top of a very fat stripper.
It's like Jabba the Hutt.
It
looks
like
awesome. Jabba with legs.
Yeah. Which, it's kind of funny, but I mean, I get where they're coming from. It only reduces women to sex objects, but it makes a woman's weight into a joke.
It looks like that fat white lady from the Starvin' Marvin episode of South Park.
Yes, yeah, Sally Struthers.
Sally Struthers, yeah.
It kind of does.
Yeah.
Number six, cultural stereotypes. This one in particular, a child Native dressed Americans. As the Rock's character from Moana.
That kid's kind of brown, though. Really? I don't see anything wrong
with
that. Yeah,
I don't know. Why? He might... Because they're saying if you're, like, Maori, you can't... Or of Maori descent, you can't dress up as one.
See, here's the problem. Like, I don't think it's an issue to dress as that character, but to dress as, like, a stereotypical Maori, like that, I guess maybe that's, you know...
Especially
not
if you're,
okay,
like,
but,
if you're, like, you know, a redhead and white, you know,
but
like
the thing is,
pale.
There are
pale and freckled.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
but there are white Maori people
doing a haka.
No, I'm just saying, it just. I think most
like
of
the dudes from Alien Weaponry.
Yeah.
They're just
sensitive.
Everybody's too sensitive. Fuck all that. It's not necessary.
So should we just not do the rest of this?
No,
list?
Go ahead.
I think that should be considered celebrating cultures.
Yeah, I could say. I mean, it's not. It's not like
imitation is you know
best form of flattery.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you. I was gonna butcher that.
Number seven, a terrorist. How is that offensive?
That person's gonna get their ass kicked. Like,
oh, that's a good point.
That's like instant karma.
Whether it's a member of ISIS or someone who's committed a horrifying mass shooting, we can all agree that it is 100% a bad idea.
Anybody with a bowl cut on Halloween.
Yeah. Is that fucking Andre Breivik? And was it Andrew Breivik?
Anders Breivik.
Yeah, Anders Breivik.
He didn't have a bowl cut, though. He was like one of the few that didn't.
Yeah. Number eight, zombie versions of recently deceased celebrities.
That's funny, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
That takes all the fun out of it.
I kind of think it's...
Who's going to be offended by that?
Their family, maybe?
Okay, their family's going to see that?
No, I'm just saying, like, you asked me a question. You asked me who would be offended.
I
think
I'm not asking.
But more than likely, the celebrities live in California, and we don't live in California, so
right,
we should
so
be
should,
fine with it.
Yeah, exactly. It's it would be like you walking down the street as, you know, the dead version of.
I got a solution for this one.
Prince.
What's that?
Just don't put that shit on Twitter where the California people will see it.
Yeah,
well, what if you went as a zombie version of Jeffrey Epstein? Because he really a celebrity?
With a noose around your neck made out of bed sheets.
And a dead baby hanging off
your
neck. I mean,
what? Yes. Yes. Yes, Jason.
Pedophilia, man. That's what that was.
That's
all
about. Okay, if the recently No. That's an easy sell. If the recently deceased celebrity was a fucked up individual.
Okay.
Fuck them.
I get that.
Yeah,
I get that. So like when Trump dies,
but like don't go walking around like fucking
like a beloved character
like Chester Bennington or some shit.
Gives a shit.
I don't know.
Chester Bennington. Though.
I'm just like
no,
I'm
I
trying to think of
that,
so I'm trying to think of celebrities that I know people actually gave
Prince.
A shit about.
David Bowie, yeah. Like any of those guys.
Yeah, any of those.
Because that just seems sacrilegious. But you know, anyways. Number nine, an eating disorder.
Wait, how do you dress up as an eating disorder? Wasn't that number one?
I don't know.
That would be actually a pretty cool concept. Like, you know, like just make like a fake jaw that's real big with like just random pieces of food that fall out of it. Like you're just stuffing yourself because
so
you can't
be
stop.
Gluttony or something?
Gluttony, yeah, exactly.
That's not an eating disorder. That's,
sure it
that's
is.
A sin. That's just one of that could be disguised as one of the sins. And then you get your other friends to dress up as the other one, so that way you can get away with it. I think the one they're talking about in particular was a few years ago. There was a costume that was called anorexia, and it was a costume that was a skeleton dress with a measuring tape belt to cinch the waist.
What the fuck?
So basically, what these all are telling us is that.
I don't have a picture of it.
Oh, I thought you
said. Basically, what they're telling us is that the garbage pail kids should just be done with. They can't use those, you know.
Yeah,
those
yeah.
I'm
anymore.
Too young to understand what garbage.
You don't remember
pail
garbage
kids
pail
is.
Kids?
No.
It was basically
some dolls or some shit.
No, it was
no,
cards.
It was
cards.
It was kind of based off Cabbage.
Wait,
Patch.
Wait, what's Cabbage Patch Kids? Then?
That's the dolls.
Oh, okay.
Those are the dolls, and then the garbage pail kids were the ones that looked kind of like them, but they're disgusting. They had like the. The one that was like vomiting all the time.
Yeah, well, you had like Lizard Larry and Atom Bomb, and
yeah, Atom Bomb's head was a nuclear explosion. It was pretty cool. It was a lot of cool stuff. But
like Dissenting Donald, that's a new one.
Yeah. Damn. Number 10, Animal Cruelty.
So what, you just walk around with your dog and kick it in front of people?
This one is a costume of the costume is called Lion Killer Dentist.
Oh shit.
And it's a dentist. It's a dentist with blood on his scrubs, and he's holding a stuffed lion head.
Why? How does this make sense?
Well, because remember that the guy, the dentist that killed Cecil the Lion a few years ago?
No. Yeah, who is Cecil the Lion?
He was a protected lion.
He was a protected lion in Africa, and yeah. Then he went overseas. The dentist did. We talked about
like
on this,
poached him or something.
Yeah, we talked about this on the episode.
I don't remember.
Yeah,
I don't remember that.
Yeah, we totally did.
So he poached a lion.
Well, he paid, but somebody was like, they were like, "Yeah, go ahead." And it's like, you know, that's not, you're not supposed to. What are you doing?
Yeah. So this one's very specific. Because, like, the other ones on this list have not run.
Whoever wrote this list was just personally triggered by this one.
Particular, like, bone to pick. Yeah. So this one is O.J. Simpson and Nicole Simpson.
Oh,
does it come with a small glove?
Like, your phone's close to
it. It doesn't fit.
Yeah, you walk around with a glove that doesn't fit, and your wife's
is
like.
Is Nicole, like, a zombie? Like.
Yeah, and her like head's flapping because she got like almost decapitated.
Wouldn't that fall into the like zombie celebrity?
Yeah, I think it would.
But it wouldn't be a recent celebrity.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, that didn't specify about recent.
It did.
Did it?
Mm-hmm. Zombie versions of
I recent, saw what the next one is.
So number 12, a mentally ill person.
Oh no, I didn't see that one.
So saw you can't go as Forrest Gump?
Nope.
Well, he's not mentally ill. He was
mentally
slow.
Retarded. That's technically ill.
Mentally ill would be like the Joker.
Eh. Number 11, or 13, sorry. Number 13, sexual harassment.
Like a flasher.
Yeah. So women can't
like
go around with...
Why does he got to be an old man?
Because it's, I don't know, it's funny. Just think about an old
accurate.
Dude. I don't know. I think it's funny. This one just goes into... comments about the hashtag Me Too movement and all that fun shit. So number 14, a homeless person. Don't dress up as a hobo.
Yeah, because the police might think you're not trick-or-treating
and they'll
beat your ass.
They'll fucking arrest you.
You know, there's a...
Jacksonville.
Did we talk about that? Did we talk about that last time?
What?
About there's a... Certain areas now have an age. For trick-or-treating.
Really?
Like, if you're over 13 in, like, North Carolina, you could be fined and arrested. For trick-or-treating or
what?
13. Yeah, there's a few of those.
That seems
all right, so
retarded.
Then what about people who are like autistic or like
I think that's different.
Like mentally like
cops don't care. They'll beat somebody up for anything.
That's not fair. that's kind of mean. I got trick-or-treating.
Fuck you,
like,
North Carolina.
Get in
what
the back of the car, you bitch.
Okay, here we go. The ordinance says any person over the age of 14 shall engage in the activity commonly known as trick or treat or any other activity similar character or nature under any name whatsoever. He or she shall be guilty of a class 4 misdemeanor.
I think they're referring to the tricking part of trick or treating.
What?
The tricking part?
So they like if they're dressed up in a costume?
No, like if they're running around pranking people.
Now in Virginia Beach, in Virginia Beach, it's illegal for anyone over 12. It's punishable with a class 3 misdemeanor unless you are a parent accompanying a child. And
a 14-year-old accompanying his 2-year-old daughter.
And let's see. Same in Texas, looks like.
Wow. Except on Texas, if they catch you over that age, they'll just shoot you on sight.
They'll just drag you down the street from a
horse-drawn carriage.
No, a cop on horseback.
I was about to say, they have cop cars. They're chasing. They're not that back.
You know that there was that recently. There was that guy that he tied up a black dude and like walked him down the street while he was on horseback.
Bro, that was fucked up. Texas is like. Texas is like 40 years behind the rest of the nation. They still think segregation's a thing. Like, I'm sorry for anybody from Texas, and my little sister lives in Texas. Texas is fucked up. It's still fucked up. So speaking of fucked up, the last one, number 15. Can you guess what is the most fucked up costume?
No, because you pretty much touched all the ones that I thought you were going to touch.
I didn't touch one of them in particular.
Pedophile costume.
No, that would be falling under sexual harassment. So,
Hillary Jason, Clinton.
It has something to do with Hillary Clinton.
Not Bill Clinton.
Number 15, a national tragedy. So, a few years ago, someone dressed up as the Twin Towers from 9/11. There's your Hillary Clinton angle. Mm. But yeah. That's fucked up. You want to see the costume?
Yeah.
It's pretty bad. It's basically like rectangular buildings. They have paper gift wrap that's red, shit, yellow, and orange coming out the top, and they have Barbies hanging from the strings, like the people that were jumping out. That is fucked up. And you can terrible. See the people walking in the background, the disapproving looks on their face. It's pretty good. It's
These
good stuff.
People must have been kids when it happened.
They must have been, because, well, I mean, we were kids when it happened.
Yeah.
But we had to watch that shit on TV. Do you remember that day?
I remember. We watched it in class together.
That was what we did.
The first one happened, the first tower, and then the teacher turned on. I guess it came over. I think somebody came in the classroom.
It was, because that was back when we had the building had two classes on each side. So the one came from one side and told our teacher about it.
And then they turned on the news, and then we watched the second one happen live.
So
see, you guys,
it was crazy.
Yeah.
Well, you guys got to watch that. I got to watch the Challenger explosion. They fucking aired that shit. They aired. I was in sixth grade.
The Challenger explosion was pretty fucked up.
Well, we all
got. Yeah, but it wasn't a terrorist attack.
Yeah. But it was one of those things. Like it was.
Hold
traumatic.
On, I'm gonna let you finish. But 9/11 was the worst tragedy of all time,
including the Holocaust.
Dude, yeah, well, God. Speaking of Kanye, Jesus, Jason. Or should I say Yahweh, Jason? Good God.
It's Yeshua.
Yeshua, sorry. So, speaking of Kanye, I listened to his
nice
new
segue.
Yeah, I listened to his new album, the
Jesus Christ, or whatever.
Jesus is Lord.
Oh, that's the one.
It's terrible.
Yeah,
really,
it's really bad.
I haven't listened to it
musically. Like, it's fine because it's just rap beats, but the fucking lyrically, it's just.
I heard that he's straight up trolling Christians.
He has to be. He has to be. Because it's
I haven't listened to it yet.
I'm not a big fan of Kanye, but I listened to it because I wanted to be informed.
I gave him a shot. Like, I listened to all of his stuff a while back because I've heard so many people refer to him as like one of the greatest rappers of all time.
Not at all.
He's listed as one of the greatest rappers of all time on a lot of like lists.
In what fucking world?
Dude, I don't know. And so I was like, fuck it, I'll give him a shot. And I listened to a bunch of his stuff and I just don't really get it.
They consider him a trendsetter. Like
he's avant-garde. Yeah, I get that.
You know.
But the fact is, like, when you're sampling other people's work as much as he does, I don't consider that avant-garde. That's like just plagiarizing people. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Wu-Tang did a lot of sampling, but
yeah, but
well,
but,
anything.
I mean,
all
like
Dre and them didn't.
Like literally, yeah, you can take 90% of Kanye's like music and like break it down into samples
into someone else's music.
Yeah,
yeah, I feel that.
So I don't know. I just
So yeah, I don't know how we went from Halloween spooky to fucking talking about the Holocaust
spooky.
And 9/11, and then
I mean,
Kanye.
Are spooky.
It's appropriate, I guess.
There's probably ghosts involved in some of
probably two, Ground Zero might be one of the
two or three of those
haunted areas.
See, they never talk about that. They never talk about Ground Zero being fucking haunted. You always talk about these haunted houses. Why are fucking ghosts, like angry spirits, always from like the 1800s? Why aren't there any like new ones? Why aren't there ghosts of like people going, fuck off, Mom. Playing Xbox. Where's that kid playing Xbox in the fucking corner when you wake up and you're like, why is there a kid playing Xbox? And he's like,
Fuck off, Mom.
He's like, no, I'm not done.
He's like, hey, you guys want to go get a sandwich? It's like, we want to go to the Subway down the road. It's like, oh, we can't go to that one. That's the one haunted by the ghost of Karen because she didn't get her extra like potato chips
like,
with a sandwich.
It's like, yeah, I know there was a ghost in my room, right? I saw him. He's playing video games. And they're like, He was that playing. Doesn't sound pretty. That doesn't sound scary at all. No, bro. He was playing Sega CD.
Oh my God!
No! You know, like what the fuck?
Should be a horror writer, Jason.
Yeah, I should.
Speaking of being a horror writer, Tyson, you are a genius.
Yes, Jacob.
We have a little surprise for everyone.
We all do.
Right. We wrote a story.
We did?
We you were there.
Oh, yeah.
So today on this special Halloween episode of Jive Turkeys, we will be reading you an original story, but with a twist.
What a twist!
So with this story...
No, for real, though, there's a twist.
Yeah. Of lime.
So Jason
kind of
began the story. Jason wrote the intro. He got everything established, and then he passed it off to me, and I wrote the middle part. And
the middle part, like it's just the middle part.
It's interesting.
You'll know it when you hear it.
I was building, Jason. I was building you and setting you up for a climax.
It was definitely, yeah, there was a climax, all right. Jason doesn't get it.
But you will get it. So, yeah, and then Tyson, real, and then Tyson took both of what we did and wrapped it all up into a nice little, what are you laughing about?
Oh, God.
The fucking climax joke that I just made.
It was good. It was good.
Jason so doesn't scared. Even know yet.
I'm so scared.
Don't be scared. Don't be scared.
I'm supposed
no,
to be.
You should be scared.
It's a horror episode. We're supposed to be scared.
It's a horror episode.
Go sleep.
You don't get that one.
I don't get that one either. Are you all right? Did that Dos Equis finally hit you?
No, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Are you sure?
I'm sure. All
right. So I'm gonna go ahead and pull up the thing on my phone or my iPad here.
I have the original pictures. I can just
It's okay, Jason. I'll just let you read this one.
Damn it.
He'll let you read the good one, Jason. The one that he that he changed shit, probably.
I didn't change
it. I don't know
lot.
If he changed shit because I only saw the version he sent me.
I mean, so. This is more legible.
I could read mine.
All right, Jason. Shut up. And read. So Jason is going to read his version of the story, or his start of the story.
His version. Version. There's only version. One story.
All right, you ready? Yeah.
So Jason, take us away.
What the hell are you doing back in my neighborhood, cracker? LaShawn asked with a furrowed brow as he walked across the street towards Daniel.
Talking to the mic.
I am talking to the mic, Jake.
I can barely hear you.
Well, it's because you're not listening. Deaf ass motherfucker.
I have headphones in my ears.
So do I, and I can hear myself fine.
Tyson's the deaf one.
Can I get on with my story?
Please.
What?
Please read the story, Jason.
If I'm a cracker, you must be a wheat thin, retorts Daniel. Fuck you, said LaShawn. Fuck you too, Daniel quipped back, grinning ear from ear. Psh, damn, dude. Thought you moved away for good, LaShawn said as he hugged his friend. Well, I was supposed to stay with my pops till I graduated, but his new girlfriend didn't like me being there, so I said, fuck it. I told him he was coming back here, Daniel explained. Well, shit. I'm glad you're back, my dude. As LaShawn and Daniel catch up, they notice a moving truck pull up to a house a few lots down and back up the drive, almost.
That's how you
that's
wrote
all right,
it.
Just keep going.
That's
keep
how
going.
You wrote it.
Just keep going.
That is not how I wrote that.
That is how you fucking... Don't. We don't have time for you to go and There's, check.
Or don't break up the story. Just
yeah,
keep reading.
Yeah. That,
so the, a moving okay. truck backs up the driveway.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right. A few lots down and backs up the drive, almost flush with the garage. Who the fuck is this? Asked LaShawn as his attention is taken away from Daniel. Isn't that where that mean old ass woman lived? Asked Daniel. Lived, LaShawn responded. She died last week. At least that's what I heard. Around the same time that retarded kid a few streets down went missing. Wait, what? Asked Daniel. Yeah, man. You came back at the right time. Things are getting weird as shit around here. As the two boys look on, they notice an attractive young lady climb out of the driver's side of the truck. Even at that distance, they could tell she was striking, with her flowing raven black hair and long legs. Oh, my Jesus. That's my wife, proclaimed LaShawn. Yeah, right, chuckled Daniel. She's way out of your league. Whatever, man. I'll hit that, LaShawn said as he attempted to mimic Denzel's mannerisms. LaShawn's mother leaned out with little resistance. I'm sorry.
dead air.
Yeah, okay. LaShawn's mother leaned out of the little residence behind where the two stood.
LaShawn's mama leans out the window.
I added that part because the way you had it is she just yelled at him and like leaned out and yelled at him.
Yeah, from the house. Yeah.
That's what I figured.
Yeah, but it doesn't
happened.
Say house. It just it had no context. So
it'll be all right.
LaShawn's mother leaned out of the little residence behind where the two stood and shouted, "LaShawn!" "Hey, Miss Williams," Daniel called out. "I play. I'll holler at you," LaShawn said as he jogged over to his mom. Daniel picked up his suitcase and walked inside his own mother's house. "Hey, Mom, what's this about a retarded kid being kidnapped or something?"
Jesus.
"First off," Daniel's mother, Kara Lynn, began, "don't say retarded. He's autistic. And the family thinks he wandered off somewhere. I feel horrible for them. It's been over a week and they're still holding out hope. I think somebody's moving into the old lady's house down the street. There was a U-Haul truck over there. For some reason, I want to think it's her granddaughter," she pondered. "Though I don't remember her ever having any family over. Maybe that's why she was so bitter," Carolyn mumbled to herself as she started preparing dinner. After dinner, Daniel settled back into his old room and after a few minutes fell asleep. It doesn't take long before Daniel finds himself in the dreamscape, reliving the day his dad moved out and how traumatic it felt at the time. Then on to his girlfriend Sarah and how she moved away after he drummed up the courage to say that he loved her. As the dream continued, the scenario around him grew darker and colder. He could see LaShawn sneaking around the street. Sneaking down the street. Daniel called out to him.
Down the street. That would be even more horrifying.
Daniel called out to him, but his friend couldn't hear him. Daniel ran after him, calling his name, but LaShawn continued, unaware. Daniel watched as his friend began peeking through the windows of the old woman's house. A feeling of relief washed over him. Even in the dreamscape, LaShawn was a perv, trying to spy on his future, quote-unquote, wife. Daniel turned for a second to the sound of a dog barking behind him, which was immediately replaced by the sound of raindrops hitting the pavement. He turned back as a shower of blood falls from the sky, chunks of meat splatting hard against the ground. Fear fills his heart as the head of his best friend landed at his feet. Waking in a cold sweat, Daniel bolted upright, breathing heavily with his sheets soaked, trying to regain himself. A heavy knock came from the front door of the home. Kara Lynn passed Daniel's room, throwing on a robe as she hurried down the stairs to the door. "Who is it?" she asked, still trying to gather herself. "It's Trina Williams from across the street," the voice from the other side of the door said. "Tell LaShawn to bring his ass home. He ain't gonna be hanging out all night with your son on a school night." Carolyn opened the door and in mid-yawn apologized. "Sorry, Trina, but he's not here. We haven't seen LaShawn since this afternoon." At this point in the conversation, Daniel made his way downstairs, rubbing his eyes, still trying to shake off his nightmare. "What's going on?" he asked. "Do you know where LaShawn is?" Trina barked. "No," responded Daniel defensively as he stopped his descent. "Look," Trina sighed before making her way across the street back to her home. "If you see him, you tell him I said to bring his ass home." Carolyn shut the door and turned to Daniel, who was still halfway down the staircase. "Do you know where he is?" she asked, mocking Trina's attitude. Daniel shook his head, turning back to go upstairs. But the more he thought about it, the more he couldn't shake the feeling he knew exactly where LaShawn was. While sitting back in his room, Daniel watched the clock, fully dressed and waiting for his mom to go back to sleep. When the time finally crept to 2:30, Daniel slinked downstairs and out the front door, pulling it closed ever so gently behind him. I see what you did there, Bravo. Thank you. Glancing down both sides of the street, he began to head down the sidewalk, looking for LaShawn. He looked left and right, squinting to make out objects in the dark, knowing full well he wasn't going to find his friend anywhere but his intended destination. LaShawn was predictable. Daniel assumed that the teen was going to prove him wrong about the raven-haired woman they saw earlier. Daniel crept up to the house, darkened by the lack of lights being on, and heard the muffled sound of jazz music emanating from inside. Looking to the left of the home, Daniel slipped between the residence and the neighbor's privacy fence. The further back he went, the louder the music became. Rounding the corner while in a crouching position, he made his way underneath the nearest darkened window, cautiously lifted it to peer inside. Inside, Daniel could see what appeared to be a bathroom, complete with a drawn bath and an ancient claw-footed tub with a figure lying in it. Squinting through the darkness, he made out a familiar silhouette of his friend. A woman's voice softly interrupted the silence, and Daniel dropped quickly from the windowsill to avoid being detected. "It's so nice to be welcomed into the neighborhood by such a young, handsome, and virile man," the woman spoke as she began to slowly disrobe. Daniel could hear the water splash as the woman climbed into the tub with LaShawn. His heart began to race in his chest. "I've got to get out of here," he thought to himself. "LaShawn would be pissed if he caught me spying on him while he's getting laid." As he began to crawl away, curiosity got the better of him, and being a hormone-driven teenager, decided to peek anyway. Lifting his head carefully to avoid being caught, he caught sight of his friend again. This time, however, LaShawn's body gently rocked back and forth in the water, now stained dark red with the blood splashing over the edge of the bathtub. Daniel's curiosity quickly turned into fear and regret as he realized his best friend was now dead, and he scrambled to his feet to run away. As he turned, he found himself face to face with a raven-haired woman dripping with LaShawn's blood. A worry wire.
What?
I got W-R-Y.
Rye.
A rye.
A rye smile.
Okay. A rye smile.
Okay. A rye smile stretched across her face, both full of pleasure and sadistic glee. She called in a voice so soft, it was almost a whisper. "So many virile young men." Then Daniel's world went black.
End part one. What was that face for?
Nothing. I've been to move it and it came loose.
Oh. Also, I think it's important to note that when we wrote these, Jason only knows the intro part.
Yeah, I don't know anything else from that point on.
And then
I know the complete story.
Yeah. And then I wrote, he doesn't know the second part, but I know the first and second. Tyson ends it. And Jason and I have no idea what the ending is, so you are all going to experience it the same as we are.
Except for me.
Except for Tyson. But that's the way he likes it. He likes to know everything. So that's perfect. It's
because I do know everything.
Okay. But you have to read yours as Chris Tucker.
No. Please, no. God,
stop,
please, no.
Daniel's ass, Leslie, flooded a pup and it's shut.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Oh, God.
That would be so hard to follow. They're like, why is he screaming for like 10 minutes? All right. So, here we go. You ready for this, Jason?
Yeah. Let's see where it goes.
All right. You got to let me know if it's disappointing to you.
Afterwards.
Oh. Afterwards. Yeah, not during.
Oh, okay. You won't be disappointed.
In him. You'll be disappointed in me, but not him.
It'll be fine.
It's okay. I'm already disappointed.
I just remembered something that I forgot friendship. To write.
The thing is that you just said you were disappointed in all we've read so far was your part.
No, I said I'm disappointed in you.
Oh, already?
And our friendship, yeah.
Oh, why?
It's just a joke. I'm trying to...
Why are you hurting my feelings? Okay. It's not a joke. I'm trying to fucking read.
Sorry.
God damn it. Stirring from unconsciousness, Daniel's eyes lazily fluttered open and shut, the previous events rattling in his head like a bad dream. As the blurred outlines of objects began to settle into themselves, the gravity of his situation became clearer. There were the quiet sounds of chains clinking softly as if by a soft breeze, as well as the barely audible hissing and popping of burning wicks. His back was swept with cool moisture, indicative of the floor of a basement. Daniel realized that his clothing had been removed, and the heavy air around him lay across his nude form with an inherent pressure that he hadn't felt before. He attempted to rub his eyes, an unfamiliar tension on his wrists resisting him. Following his arm with his gaze, he found that both of his wrists were bound by iron shackles that gripped them firmly enough for hands. I think I fucked that up. Sorry. Take two.
I didn't mess with Jacob's part.
No, I read it wrong. Following his arm with his gaze, he found that both of his wrists were bound by iron shackles that gripped them firm enough for hands to change a shade darker from the blocked circulation. Okay, yeah. That was fucked in. That was weird. Raising his head slightly and peering towards his knees, he found that his ankles were likewise restrained. A weak groan escaped his lips, and his breath began to come in short gasps. Oh my God, he thought. What's going on? As he swept the room, the low glow of the candles surrounding him revealed that he lay in the middle of the basement, the candles in a circular pattern around him, as if sentries standing guard. Their flames whipped around like silent tongues tasting the air. To the left of him, a small rectangular window allowed for the blackness of the night to seep through the glass and join the swirling darkness outside of the wax light's reach. From his vantage point, Daniel could see the muted blue glow. Thanks, fucking airplanes. Jesus. We'll have to cut this out. What is that face for?
I can't even hear the planes through the...
I can hear them. They're subtle, but they're there.
Yeah,
I have to get this out of it, but Jacob said gays.
Gays!
Wow. Wow.
Sorry.
Really?
It was just stupid.
You said gays.
I didn't say gays.
Did he say gays?
I said gays, but with a Z.
Yeah.
That way it's cool. From his vantage point, Daniel could see the muted blue glow of the waxing moon reaching through the leaves of a nearby tree. He wondered if it would be the last time he would see it. Above him, he recognized the strained chain sounds from when he was coming to, and his heart dropped in his chest. Suspended by a chain around his neck and one around each elbow, the lifeless body of his friend loomed. LaShawn's eyes were open, already becoming cloudy. His pupils seemed fixed on Daniel as if pleading to save him, to take off those chains and return to the way that things used to be. The nights of staying up too late playing video games and watching low-budget horror movies. To the times when they would lie in Daniel's backyard, drinking beer that they were too young to drink, and talking about things that they were too old to think. Times when the world made more sense. Times when your neighbor didn't lure you into their house with the promises of sex, and instead fulfilled those wishes with murder. The tears brimmed his eyes, and soon became a flood of mourning. Through his tears, he noticed a glint from behind the hanging body of LaShawn, a shiny surface that reflected the amber light from the candles. Leaning his body as far as the chains binding him allowed, he could make out a tall, imposing form encased in what appeared to be onyx. It had to be at least 9 feet, almost touching the roof of the basement, but Daniel couldn't be too sure of that, with his fear made him seem larger than it actually was. The familiar shape of it became a little clearer. A roughly hewn, hunched figure with its legs fused, angularly, as if carved from stone, but symmetrical. That's what Daniel recalled where he had seen something similar. During the lull one day in school, a substitute teacher, none too keen on actually engaging the children in a lesson, relied on the educational value of a nature documentary that she played on the old fatback television lent from the AV department. The life cycle of a butterfly, the words drifting across the screen almost as uninterested as the row of students who pondered napping rather than slogging through an ancient VHS film. Halfway through the documentary, and mostly focusing on doodling, Daniel glanced unenthused up at the screen to the scene of a caterpillar hanging upside down from a leaf, suspended by a thread of silk. The narrator grated along with an explanation about how the caterpillar was preparing for the next stage of its quest to winged freedom, the pupal stage. After hanging still for a time, the back of the caterpillar splits, and the hardened chrysalis emerges from the flesh, its body liquefied inside, reforming to become a butterfly. All in all, the metamorphosis takes about a week, and then the butterfly works its way out once its tomb All in all, the metamorphosis takes about a week before the butterfly works its way out of its once tomb and stretches its wings in a glorious show of transformation. That's it, he thought. This thing, this large black thing is a... Daniel's thoughts were interrupted by the long creak of a door above his head being opened, then closed, a key turning tumblers inside, locking it tight. Inescapable. Gentle footsteps almost fell undetected along the stairs as someone descended the steps into the dungeon below. Well, well, the voice called out, clearly pleased with its discovery. Look who decided to wake up and join the... a deep breath, then a shuddered moan.
Festivities.
Entering the ring of light from the candles, the form of a young woman was revealed. Her recognizable jet-black locks draped over delicate shoulders. The very woman who started this whole nightmare. Swaddled in an ivory bathrobe, the terry cloth tracing ample curves underneath, a smile stretched across her face like that of a virgin on her wedding night entering the bride chamber. A look of both eagerness and hesitant nervousness. Her eyes, which under any other circumstance would appear alluring, had the stillness of a tar pit's surface, and their gaze threatened to swallow Daniel whole. Is this interesting at all to you?
Yeah, keep going. Keep going.
I was looking at Jason.
We'll comment afterwards.
It doesn't make me feel good.
We'll comment afterwards, Jacob. Just keep going. It'll be all right.
Where was I at? The captive teenager glared up at the woman with both fear and a welling anger. What the fuck is going on? He screamed with an emphasis on the swear. What the fuck did you do to LaShawn? Meeting the dead eyes of his friend, a mumbled, how could you do this? The laughter that escaped her parted ruby lips threw Daniel off guard, starting as a low, throaty chuckle, and rose to a near deafening shriek of pleasure. It says defining. I don't know why that's... Okay. How could I? She mocked. What did I do? She laughed again while crossing the room, stepping over his restrained nude body and to the side of the hanging teen. Raising a delicate, pale hand to the side of LaShawn's face, she ran the back of it down his cheek almost in reverence. Why? For his blood, of course. The image of the bathtub upstairs flashed into Daniel's mind. The porcelain sloshed with crimson, long runs of blood streaking down its sides. His mouth stood agape until he managed to stutter. What do you need his blood for? He wasn't sure that he wanted to hear the answer. The same smile from before was still plastered on her face. Stretching her arms out in a Christ-like pose, she giggled. It's for the great revival. Great what? He thought to himself. You shouldn't cry, dear child, the raven-haired woman declared, for you are to witness the coming of a new age, the dawning of truth. Now, behind LaShawn, her fingers worked the chain wrapped around his arms and lowered his body to where he dangled just around her navel, his limp legs coiling underneath himself. She looked up to Daniel, locking eyes, and the smile on her face grew. It stretched further than humanly possible, the delicate skin at the edges of her lips cracking until they tore with a fleshy rip. The ends of her new grotesque grin continued splitting up the side of her face, sinew separating from sinew until they curved up and ended at her temples. Underneath her skin, rippled with realigning bones as she began to work her massive jaw. Daniel's breath burned in the back of his throat as he fought to find it again. Wow, that's fucked up. I didn't get a chance to proofread.
Just make some shit up.
I am. Okay, fuck that. Yeah, I'll just...
Daniel was scared.
Yeah, it's basically a fancy way of saying Daniel's scared. The image was burned into his eyes. The beastly woman's pinprick pupils hungrily bore into his as she continued, firstly the flesh of a virgin. With that declaration, she revealed a mouth crowded with far too many teeth and let out a dual-pitched squeal of excitement. Stretching incredibly wide, her monstrous maw clamped over LaShawn's head. Daniel heard her fangs shred through the teen's trapezius with a sickening squelch, bones snapping like twigs as she separated it from the rest of his body. She swallowed it whole and with a mighty gulp, without resistance. He couldn't scream, couldn't even blink at the sight of this monster as it devoured his best friend piece by piece, inhaling limbs as if they were air, consuming gobs of meat and bone until there was nothing left but the chains that once bound him. The woman stood in front of Daniel, her body shaking with delight and her bathrobe now flecked with sprays of what remained of LaShawn's blood. Another round of shrill laughter bubbled up from the depths of her gullet, and she opened her animalistic eyes wide in satisfied ecstasy. Each flame from the circle of candles simultaneously burst forth a brighter flame, shooting upwards with a plume of smoke, then dulling into a deep blue. As the color of the fire changed, a complete circle of light began to shine around him, breaking off the outer ring and tracing a frantic shape underneath Daniel. Excuse me. A sigil, he thought. I'm inside a fucking sigil. A summoning circle. The looming black chrysalis seemed to take on the blue of the candles, but even more, the light also seemed to emanate from within it. Come now, boy, the dual-toned voice leaked from between the rows of jagged teeth. Now is the time for you to make your offering. Her fingers probed for the terry cloth knot around her waist, and she uncinched her robe, which slid down her frame and dropped to the cold concrete slab. Revealed before him, the cyan candlelight lapped at her unnaturally white skin, void of hair, and heavy with ample breasts. In a blur, just after she disrobed, the woman was on top of Daniel, straddling his form. The boy shrieked denials and tried to writhe away from the demon atop of him, but he couldn't fight against his restraints. Adrenaline darted through his veins and cold perspiration gathered across his body. No, he protested. Please! The monster mockingly scoffed at his rejection with another beastly laugh. What, am I not pretty enough? She exclaimed as a hand shot out and gripped his neck. Don't worry, I don't need your flesh, she reassured him. As a free hand crept down his abdomen, I only need your seed. against his will and all of his efforts, blood rushed to Daniel's groin and he became engorged. The wicked woman made what he could equivalate to a purr, and she inserted himself into her. The candles, same as before, burst forth in a flash, this time the colors shimmering a deep red. The giant onyx cocoon, a mounting presence behind the witch that straddled him, echoed the same glow. Her rhythm increased in pace, and Daniel couldn't contain an involuntary moan. A tear rolled down his cheek from his tightly closed eyes. It wasn't supposed to be like this. He tried to escape into his thoughts. The inky black tendrils of the beast's hair faded into a bright auburn, the pasty white bronzing into an olive brown. The eyes softened from beady pinpoints to deep evergreen, eyes that promised the world. Sarah, he wept. It was supposed to be you. That's the end of mine. I don't have yours on mine.
Yeah, it's, you do. I sent it to you.
Just now?
Oh, it's fine. I can read off mine.
No, I can pull it up. I didn't know you had sent it to me.
Yeah.
There you are. Screw the barbarian. All right. Now I'm interested to hear the ending of it.
You should be.
Like Daniel's going to know what a sigil is.
No, I'm just...
He seems like the kind of guy that would know. I don't know, man. He remembered fucking watching a documentary.
I'm just picking.
It's a horror story.
It's a horror story.
I think I was... Oh, yeah, it's a horror story. I was mainly focusing on the fact that her fucking mouth was, like, opening from her temples. That's a huge fucking mouth.
Yeah, no, it was... I got that. I was almost thinking, like, anime style. Like, as you were reading, that's what I saw was...
That's cool.
Like an anime style.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about the wife from Beetlejuice. How she had that weird fucking mouth. Like that mixed with this anime that I watched recently called Parasite. That's pretty fucking awesome. You should check it out. Yeah. But that's my contribution to the story.
Chapter 3.
Bring it home, Bone Daddy. Are you not excited? You don't look excited. We are all excited. All right.
Come now, Daniel. You can do it. The succubus cooed icily in his ear, snapping him from his trance. His situation was simultaneously getting better and worse. Ever closer to the edge, his fear grew. He knew he wouldn't be able to stop himself from fulfilling whatever plans this horrid creature had devised. Come on, Daniel. Think with your big head, not your little one. You have to find a way out of this. He knew he wouldn't last much longer, and there was no stopping the inevitability of male biology. No matter how much math he did in his head, no matter how disgusting the mental image of his grandmother shitting in a dog's mouth, it was no use.
Is that what you think of? Did that come so early?
Daniel was powerless to interrupt the intense sensations surrounding little Daniel. He cried out in frustration as he began to climax. Yes, that's it, Danny boy. Give me all of your seed. The thing nearly shouted, not a trace of femininity left in its cataclysmic tone. Yes, I can feel it growing already. As Daniel came down from his fleeting high, the creature slid off of him and fell backwards onto the basement floor, cackling all the way. Daniel craned his neck to glimpse the now ghoulish-looking thing laying on the floor before him. Its head was a fiendish insectoid-reptile hybrid, its antenna planted firmly in bristly black hairs that covered the top half of its head. A thousand eyes the color of the void clustered together in a triangular pattern above its blue and green scaled mandibles, which contained within a plethora of razors all different sizes, still coated with the fresh viscera of his now deceased friend LaShawn. As his gaze wandered further down, he thought it strange that the creature still had a mostly human torso, albeit covered in the same black bristles as its head. Just then, something even more strange stopped his wandering gaze. Before his very eyes, the howling demon's stomach began to swell like a balloon being blown up slowly by an elderly person with weak lungs. The abdomen grew and grew until the demon began screaming in pain. Daniel could only look on horrified at the sight before him. The fiend began shouting in what was surely some long-forgotten ancient tongue. Daniel began straining at his shackles, not wanting to find out what was about to come forth from the cloaca of this foul beast. Nice. It was pointless. His cuffs would not give, and no matter how much he strained, he could not slip out of them. Where the fuck is Beowulf when you need him? Daniel chuckled to himself, ready to meet whatever fate was creeping his way. All the while, the creature continued to shout in its infernal tongue. Daniel's head began to swim and feel light as he listened to the words. A buzzing sensation tugged at the base of his skull. The words began twisting steadily into comprehensive strings. A full life lived in pursuit of the master of all things which come out from the void. The unloved son sacrificed to bring beauty and vitality to the master's vessel. The virgin who has consumed will be reborn with the seed of the line of Abraham. Now come forth, master, and inherit your new vessel, and multiply unto the earth. Just as its words came to a fever pitch, its abdomen split open with a sickening rip. The creature let out one final howl before falling silent. The dark cocoon in the corner was now emitting a blinding blue light. Daniel averted his gaze out of instinct. He quickly resolved to keep his eyes shut until he finally met his end. A quick prayer left his lips, but clearly fell upon deaf ears as he heard something shuffling around where he last saw the demon. Through his eyelids, he noticed the blue light dimming. In a moment of panic, he opened his eyes, not wanting to be left alone in the dark room with another unknown creature. There in front of his eyes, he saw a dark humanoid figure stand up while simultaneously sloughing off the skin of its deceased mother. The figure was facing the cocoon as the blue light finally faded into the darkness. The candles around the room took on their original color once more. As the figure began to turn around, Daniel let out a loud, "What the fuck?" Before him stood LaShawn, who had his head tilted to the side, staring at Daniel unblinkingly. LaShawn stood still for a few more moments, observing Daniel where he lay chained up. LaShawn's eyes started to blink rapidly and randomly until they seemed to reach some sort of equilibrium. An ebony-colored hand raised to the side of his head and tilted it up straight, supporting it for a moment before allowing it to stand on its own. "Well, my dear friend Daniel, it seems you have had quite the fun..." What the fuck did I write? "Well, my dear friend Daniel, it seems you have had quite the fun tonight. It appears you have engaged in coitus, although how willingly I cannot determine at this point in time. If you wish, I can release you from your shackles." LaShawn's mouth remained open as he finished speaking. Daniel stared in horror. Whoever this thing is, or whatever this thing is, it definitely isn't LaShawn. He quickly decided to play along on the off chance that the thing thought it was actually fooling him. Swiftly and with the grace of a seasoned actor, Daniel curved his horrified expression into a lighthearted grin. "Yeah, man, you can take him off. You will not believe the night I had," he offered with a chuckle. LaShawn stood there regarding him for one more long moment before Daniel tried again. "I don't know where she put the key. We got a little bit too freaky, if you know what I mean. Maybe you can find the key for me." He laughed again, feeling a little bit more nervous. "Oh, that will not be necessary, Daniel," LaShawn said as he took a step forward. Daniel began to give up his act and recoiled as LaShawn bent over. Daniel's eyes snapped shut, but instead of pain, he felt LaShawn's fingers tighten around his cuffs, and a warm sensation hugged his wrists as the cuffs melted and off into a pool of foul-smelling sulfur water. LaShawn twisted unnaturally at the waist and applied the same treatment to Daniel's ankle cuffs. Now free of his restraints, Daniel was furiously fighting the urge to bolt for the stairway. This thing inhabiting his friend's body was likely much faster than he. "Hey, LaShawn, I'm getting a bit tired from all the coitus, you know. I think I'm going to put on my clothes and go home to rest. You should probably do the same. Your mom was looking for you earlier. She seemed worried." At these words, LaShawn's face split into an unsettling grin. He offered a grotesque, open-mouthed chuckle. "Ha ha ha! Yes, I believe I too require hibernation, Daniel. We should both go back to our homes and gain sleep. And when we wake up, we will return here tomorrow. That will be our plan of action for the new day cycle." "Yeah, that sounds like a great idea, man. I'll see you in the morning, okay?" Daniel said jovially, while also backing towards the basement steps. As soon as LaShawn was out of sight, Daniel quickly exited the house through the front door and bolted down the street naked as the day he was born. He quietly snuck back into his own home and into his bedroom. Barricading the door with a bookshelf, he sat down in a corner in a fetal position, trying to figure out what the fuck he was going to do. If nothing else, he had to get as far away as possible tomorrow. There was no way he would go back out in the dark with that thing walking around in his friend's body. Daniel began sobbing uncontrollably before the blackness of exhaustion finally set in. Daniel never heard the pounding at his door. He never awoke to the sound of hundreds of sirens racing across the city. He never woke to the smell of the thick black smoke which blanketed the entire region. He woke when his eyelids turned a bright white color and faded into a bright red before returning to normal. Daniel leapt up and pulled his bookshelf from the door of his room. He sprinted down the stairs to an abandoned house and an already open front door. His mom had evacuated without him. He walked out onto the front porch. Screams and sirens echoed all around. Smoke and mushroom clouds dotted the horizon. Then, from off to the side of his house, came a voice which was so full of happiness and joy. "Hello, friend Daniel. You're late. I had to start without you, but it's okay. You can join the fun now as well."
Nice. Wow.
That was good. I liked it.
That was such a great end.
I forgot to. I was going to write a scene with Daniel seeing the cocoon. Like, before he left, he was going to notice that the cocoon was split open.
Oh, I gotcha.
So there would be, like, the implied, you know, something came out of the cocoon and went to his friend.
Like Pandora's box. Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah, but I was like racing to finish it all because
I liked it. I liked the direction you both went in. My original thought was that the witch was actually the old woman.
Yeah.
That died.
Yeah. And that's why I wrote the bit about the unloved son sacrificed to bring beauty and vitality to the master's vessel.
Right.
That yeah. was that was kind of a
to the autistic a nod kid.
To that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
My question so, is if because I kind of gathered that you wanted the younger girl to be the older
right,
version
right.
of the lady, but why would there be a U-Haul truck?
Because okay, well you do that so people around
like to throw off suspicion.
Yeah, that way. Gotcha. You know, because if
that's what he thought, but what actually it was for the supplies,
right?
For well, the master and what he was about to do the next day.
Gotcha. Well, that's cool though. Gotcha. I mean, it would sound like mine was like. Mine was like a knockoff of Fright Night that went into some crazy anime like Wicked City, and then from there went into a Conan-esque future setting with the ancient tongue and the reciting of the, you know.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, this yeah. is getting, you know, but I can see your, you know, I see everybody's strengths as far as what you were, you know, coming from and your source material. So it was pretty cool. I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked where it went. I liked the ending. It was kind of.
The ending was very ominous.
I had a lot of fun reading through, and I kind of figured out where Jason left off and Jacob started.
Well, because I drew so, a line on the thing.
Well, I mean, there was another line, like there was like
oh there was a,
there
was
some
a,
stars
yeah there was a stars asterisk. But that was all Jason's.
So it was fun for me because we all had different perspectives when writing this.
This is true,
and so it was fun for me to see how Jason. Like built the story and then Jacob progressed it and then me trying to figure out how to piece the two of those together.
You're a problem but also solver, though.
I'm what?
You're a problem solver. That's kind of what you're good
I
at.
I mean, that's literally my job.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I figured, you know, you would enjoy no. that.
Yeah. That was fun. That was fun.
That was good.
My favorite's the fucking the dialogue between Daniel and new LaShawn.
Yeah.
Hello, friend Daniel. Like,
yeah, no, I intentionally wrote it like that.
No,
like,
I
so the first thing that comes out of his mouth, Daniel's like, "Who the fuck is yeah. this?"
It's good. It was good. I really liked it.
Yeah.
I really liked that. That was good. Yeah. I had a fun time doing that.
That was good stuff. I enjoyed it. I had
Yeah, what was your original, like, because you, whenever, before we recorded this, you told me that you had, like, an idea for a beginning, middle, and end for the whole story.
Well, yeah, well,
so what was your original direction?
Well, it was gonna end up with, I was sick, I was feverish and not feeling well when I wrote this, so, yeah, it was the old woman was the young woman.
Yeah.
And he was gonna have to fight her off, and it was... I like the way you guys took it. Just mine was very, very trivial and kind of played out. To be honest with you,
I actually wrote the second ending that I thought of writing. There's like an alternate ending that I didn't actually Ooh. Write, but the first thing that I thought of. And if you want, I can like tell you what it was going to be.
No, definitely.
So basically, what it was going to be was LaShawn. I was gonna go kind of like an ancient, like demonic skinwalker route.
See, that's what I immediately thought skinwalker so, when you started talking.
Yeah.
So I was gonna go that route and then have LaShawn start converting people, but not converting people, but like basically, I know it's fucked up, but like Jacob brought like the sex thing into it, and so in my mind I was thinking like. Maybe LaShawn could go out and just start fucking people and like their baby, like yeah. the people, and it would happen the same way where they get pregnant really fast and then like these goblins and shit start coming yeah. out. And like that was going to be how the apocalypse happened.
As long as new LaShawn did but, not mount Daniel, that would have been,
the thing is, Daniel is a part of the new LaShawn. And so, like, they're tied. They're tied together.
He's like a daddy.
I don't know if you caught it or not because I was reading, but Daniel is a part of the line of Abraham.
Yeah, yeah, I caught that.
He's related to Jesus.
Mm. Yeah, boy.
Jesus.
No, it was really cool. So, yeah. Honestly, like, either way. Either ending would have been great, but the ending.
The
part...
reason I didn't write that though was because I was pressed for time, and I wanted to like make it quick, and so instead he wakes up to all this chaos. But In reality, LaShawn spent all night fucking.
Fucking who?
Everything.
Anything he could get his dick in. There's goblins running around.
Including Daniel's mom.
Probably. Probably his mom, too.
Yeah. That would have been fucked.
That would have been pretty fucked, yeah. I really enjoyed the ending where he just wakes up to fucking nuclear winter. Yeah. That was great. That was good. I really enjoyed that. I think, like, all good horror always has to have a little bit of sex kind of in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh,
you know
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
Like, all most B-rated horror movies, there's always some weird sex scene. And I thought something with, like, a fucking woman with a weird-ass head and just, like, crazy shit would be
Yeah,
cool.
man. So you had him. You had
yeah,
him.
What were your first impressions?
All right. My first impressions were mainly from because whenever I read Jason's part, I knew I kind of had a good idea of how it was going to go. I knew Jason intended her to be some kind of witch, but I figured Jacob would bring some sort of a creature into it with like some sort of magic. And so I figured that
he was right.
I figured it was going to be kind of weird, and then
was it weirder than you expected?
No, it was kind of about I didn't expect the sex thing. And so like the way you it was really hard to kind of write around that. It kind of gave me a little bit of difficulty because if I were writing, I would try to like find a way to get him out of that situation. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he's there alone. And he's shackled.
Yeah.
So there's no getting out of that. And so then I thought, so what's like the weirdest thing I could do with this? So fuck, like an instantly pregnant demon creature. And and LaShawn comes back because she ate him. Like, I don't know. I was just thinking, what the fuck could I even do with this? And it just kind of evolved.
So he came back. He came back as a little bit of Daniel. A lot of LaShawn that's a little autistic.
Yeah.
Hi, Fred Daniel.
Well, see, because Daniel is of the direct descendant of Abraham, LaShawn is now immune to higher powers.
So not even God can strike him down.
Not even God can strike him down. It was part of the master's
plan. Part of
plan.
God.
So, yeah.
That's good.
That was the way I was going to go with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, as soon as I read the part about her eating LaShawn, I was like, I didn't even like that LaShawn died first, and so I was
I had to pick it up from there.
No, yeah, I know, and so when I read the thing about the demon eating LaShawn, I was like, LaShawn's coming back. I'm gonna find a way.
It was great.
And then I was like, wait, what if it's not LaShawn? Because originally I was thinking, what if LaShawn comes back and saves Daniel? And then I was like, that doesn't make any fucking sense. How is he going to come back?
I mean, he kind of saved Daniel.
Yeah, kind of. Well, I mean, kind of, but it's like...
But yeah, it's a
well, see,
it's a Pyrrhic victory.
Yeah. With Jacob's, I thought that the raven-haired woman was turning into more of a werewolf. Like, his description was like more, you know, bestial and I thought hairier. And
then she had no hair.
Well, I mean, when she started to grin and got a big jaw and everything, I was like, you know, that's what I started thinking werewolf. And then when you took over, it's more insect. And I was like, that's okay. What the
well, my, a lot of different see, forms. But. The way I was thinking about it was, in my mind, she was kind of like a succubus witch type of a thing.
Yeah, that's
kind
of
and
what
so,
I was catching so from it.
So I was thinking, so in when Jacob's writing, she's still going to try and appear seductive until she's got his seed. At that point, she shows her true form.
Right,
yeah. That's kind of what I was thinking, too.
Yeah.
Just because, like, if you read a lot of the stuff about a succubus, like, they start off as the most beautiful whatever gender. Well, I guess with the succubus would be a woman. The most beautiful of that gender, and then once you deny them or they get what they want, they become their true form, which is a nightmarish thing.
Yeah,
which it's perfect for it to be
insectoid. I was just thinking like reptile insect, like with human body and werewolf fur.
Well, I mean, I threw in the chrysalis thing to kind of
you know,
the cocoon.
Oh, and if anybody out there that's watching or listening, if you are a movie producer of any kind and you would like to use this, please contact us.
Oh, I've got more. I've got more. They set me up. I've already got the whole like world in my head now.
So, if you want to run with this, I know, we'll work with
you. I already know why there's nukes and fuck.
Yeah, we'll work with you.
I know about the chaos that happens. Yeah.
I mean, some of us have seen Twilight. We know what we're up against. We can make better stuff.
It would be very interesting to see this actually happen in a movie. But I would be down to watch it.
Yeah, I would even be down to watch like a cheaply made sci-fi version of it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
But I would prefer it be like one of the directors like that
did Sharknado.
No. Well, actually, I would prefer one that did like The Woman.
Oh yeah,
you know, something like along those
lines.
The Woman
was good.
You know, it was creepy, a dark. You know, just kind of
gritty
undertones.
Film, yeah, like a grindhouse film.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I could do that. I could dig it. Well, I think that's going to end it for our Halloween episode.
That was fun.
It's a fun time.
We got to figure out what we're going to do next year now.
Yeah. Well,
what did we do last year?
Last year we read creepypastas.
That was last year?
That was last year.
And then the year before that we each wrote individual stories.
Yeah, we each wrote individual short stories. And then last year was so this year
I think we should do a writing project of some sort each year.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
It's fun. I really enjoyed when we all wrote individual stories, seeing everybody's flair.
Yeah.
And this was really fun.
It was a nice twist.
Yeah.
It was a nice twist. We'll figure it out next year.
Yeah.
Next year. That's a whole year away.
Maybe we can get them to give us a writing prompt.
That's an even better idea. Put them to work.
Yeah. Get off your ass.
Fucking work.
Give us a prompt.
Watching this fucking video on YouTube and listening to your podcasts.
And
fucking you do it.
Hey, if you give us something that we use, we'll send you a free pen or something.
Pens?
Like a
pen island.
Oh, yeah, like a button. Yeah.
A button.
Yeah, we'll get you some merch.
We'll give you something, you know, we'll hook you up.
Yeah. Speaking of, I'm talking with shirt people. So we might have shirts coming up pretty soon.
And I'm talking with pants people, because pants people do not expose themselves.
Is this true? To myself.
That it? Welcome to Buy Turkeys.
Bye.
Fucking twat.
Hold on. Now do it again and look at the camera, because now your camera's on.
Why?
Because the camera
wasn't
on.
Why do I have to look at the camera?
Look at the camera and do it.
Fucking twat.